The Supreme Court has ruled that the long-time partner of a woman who died 3 years ago is entitled to the widower's pension, despite the fact that the couple were not married and did not have a civil partnership. John O'Mara was refused the widower's contributory pension after the death of his partner, Michelle Beattie, in January 2021. Mr. O'Mara, with his three children, had challenged the High Court's decision to uphold the refusal of the pension by the Minister for Social Protection. The Supreme Court found today that the section of the legislation excluding him from claiming the pension was invalid and unconstitutional. John O'Mara joins us on the line now. Very good afternoon to you, Mr. O'Mara, and welcome to the News at One.
Good afternoon, Brian. Thanks.
So after Michelle died in January of 2021, you applied for the widower's contributory pension. What happened?
Yeah, after applying, I was refused on the grounds that we were not married. So I appealed that decision with him.
So you took your case initially to the High Court, and you believed your case was what?
I just believed that, you know, hadn't contributed the same as any other married family, you know, through our working careers and paid all our contributions, like, to see that I wouldn't be entitled to the same, you know, to the same provisions of that of a married family when something would happen. I just thought it was unconstitutional, so I just decided to challenge it.
And you and Michelle had been together for, what was it, about 20 years?
Nearly 20 years, yeah.
Yeah, and you had three children, still school going age?
Still school going age, yes, yeah.
So you had all the responsibilities of bringing them up now on your own as a widower, and this refusal from the High Court wasn't something you were prepared to accept?
No, it wasn't, because, yeah, exactly. Had we been married, like, we would be getting completely different supports, and there was no, like, as I was self-employed, there was absolutely no support in place for me.
Now, we'll be hearing from your solicitor in just a moment about the basis for this decision by the Supreme Court, the legal basis for it today. But what's your reaction?
Look, I'm delighted. Oh, it's amazing. It's been an amazing ruling. Obviously, and also, like, you know, to get the same, to be getting the same kind of acceptance as a family, as any other family, you know, it means a lot as well.
So that's an important, obviously the money is an important part of it, and I think you'll be entitled to widower's pension payments from the time you first applied, if I understand correctly. But it's a decision that for you has more importance than that.
It does, yeah. It has far more importance than that. It's be treated as equal, as a family, is far more important.
Because of all those years together, because of the children. And I think you had intended to marry or form a civil partnership, but Michelle became ill and then COVID.
Yes, there was so many complications hit us. And obviously, yeah, COVID came and put the final straw on that one. So it's like, yeah, the intentions were there, but it's just trying to get there was the hard part.
Well, today you have a judgment that recognises your relationship. No question about that.
No question. No, it's been amazing. It's great. It's absolutely great.
Okay, well, thank you, John, for talking to us. We can talk now, I believe, to your solicitor. You're represented by FLAC, Free Legal Advice Centres. Its managing solicitor is Sinead Lucy. Sinead, thank you for taking our call today. We've heard John's reaction there to this Supreme Court judgment. What was the basis for the case that was taken on his behalf by you and the basis for the decision from the Supreme Court today?
Essentially, Brian, the decision found that Section 124 of the social welfare legislation, which deals with survivors' pensions, is unconstitutional on the basis that it unfairly discriminates against John and his children under Article 40.1 of the Constitution. That's the equality guarantee in the Constitution. And essentially, the court found that the distinction drawn between John and his children, John as a parent and his children, and a married couple with children was simply arbitrary and served no good purpose. Essentially, there wasn't a proper justification for that distinction because John and his children needed the same support whether John was married or not.
And the result of the decision is that John is immediately entitled to the pension, is that right? And am I correct in understanding that it will be backdated to when he originally applied?
Yes, John has essentially preserved his entitlement on foot of initiating court proceedings. It wouldn't be the same for everybody in those circumstances, but where he actually challenged that decision has now been quashed. And on the basis of the judgment, he should be entitled to the payment back to the date of his application, himself and his children.
Well, now, we heard that John and Michelle were together for 20 years, but the fact that they had children, they had that family, is that crucial in this decision?
That's important in the decision because the court was looking, in terms of looking at the equality guarantee, they had to see, was there a distinction between the social function served by John and the social function of another survivor who was married. And in this context, they were very clear that John, as a parent, his obligations to his children were exactly the same as they would be if he had been married. So there was no grounds for the distinction made.
So it's a decision then that clearly has implications for couples who have children, but not necessarily, the same situation would not necessarily apply to a couple without children.
Well, I think what will be crucial here is obviously the government will now look at the judgments. They'll obviously be looking very closely at them. And there is a decisions to be made as to how to implement the Supreme Court judgment. And of course, the legislation could be very narrow and just simply meet the minimum requirements of the judgment, or they could take a more generous approach and maybe be more inclusive going forward mm-hmm. as regards survivors. But that will probably be a decision that will have to be reached at government level. And obviously there's also a referendum pending in relation to the constitutional definition of the family that may be relevant as well.
And for individuals who are in a similar situation, is there anything they might be able to do to secure this pension in advance of new legislation?
Well, I think anybody in that situation should immediately seek advice and probably make an application to the Department of Social Protection to kind of preserve their entitlement going forward.
There is a review mechanism, isn't there, for somebody who's refused a pension?
Yes, and I think this will depend on any reforming legislation. So you can ask the department at any point to review a refusal. And if there's been a mistake as to the law or as to the facts underlying the decision, then the department can relook at those decisions, and that might also be a mechanism. But it really will depend on the decision made by the government now as to how they implement the judgment.
And is there a deadline on that? Is there a timescale in which that should be done?
Well, the order of the court hasn't been drawn up in a formal sense yet, mm-hmm. so that's still pending, and then there will probably be kind of a timescale in which the decision has to be implemented. And, but I'd imagine sooner rather than later.
And just finally, you mentioned the upcoming referendums. One of them on the definition of the family. Is this a decision that has implications for that?
I think that'll be something that has to be teased out mm-hmm. now. The court made its decision under Article 40.1, which is the equality guarantee. The court did not find that John and his children are a constitutional family within the definition of Article 41, which is the article that is now proposed to amend. So it may be that, in fact, the decision doesn't have huge direct implications, but obviously it marks a departure by the courts in terms of how they look at non-marital families and the constitutional protection, at least under the equality guarantee.
All right, well, it's a very interesting case, and for John, clearly a very important decision today. Sinead Lucy from FLAC, thank you very much for talking to us. Back with Senator David Norris after this short break.